Blog Talk Radio.
We're starting tonight's show off with a new song. I want to thank Levi Mann for letting me use his previous two songs. Check out Levi Mann on Facebook. You can check out his music on YouTube, Levi Mann. Buy some of his music, buy some CDs from him. Great music. So I mentioned I was going to, if I found another song, I was going to swap it up. And I found me another song I want to use to start my show off. This is ASAP Preach. He's a Christian rapper I'm a huge fan of, huge fan of, listen to all the time. And so, yeah, I'm a huge fan of ASAP Preach. And this is a song called Heaven Bound he wrote for his mom. I believe his mom passed away, but it's a great song, great message. Just talks about how he's, no matter what he's going through in life, he's always going to be heaven bound because he knows he's got Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And the devil tries to stop you in your tracks, but if you're heaven bound, ain't nothing going to stop it. The devil cannot stop you. So what a great song, man. And he dedicated it to his mom that passed away. So if you watch the music video, Heaven Bound, man, it's awesome. Because, like, so over the weekend, me and my buddy Cliff and his girlfriend Chastity, we went to the outreach at the beach event over there in Gulfport, Mississippi, at the Gulfport Harbor over there. And I've never been to Gulfport before, but it was beautiful over there. I'm talking about, what a beautiful place, that harbor. And it's right at the beach, which is so cool. And so they had a car show that morning. And so I missed the car show, but Cliff and Chastity got to go to it. And so then after the car show, they had a concert, and it lasted all day. And it was a Christian rapper I listened to named Clean Slate. And you can look him up on Facebook, Clean Slate Music. Look up Clean Slate Music on YouTube also. His name is Joshua Hutchinson. And he put on the event under Clean Slate Music and his wife, Mallory B. And so it was so awesome because it was a Christian outreach event. And they had, oh, man, they had vendors everywhere, all around the pavilion there. They were selling, like, merch for the bands. There were different Christian vendors. There was a motorcycle gang that was there. The motorcycle group was a group where you could only be a member if you were a former drug addict. It's the only way you could be a member of the motorcycle group. So that was cool. And then there was a lot of great artists there. Started at 12. They had different artists anywhere from Jimmy Hunt. You can look him up, Jimmy Hunt, on Facebook. You can look up Vertical Music Ministries on Facebook, which is Jimmy's ministry. And then, of course, there was a lot of different artists. Redeemed, Clean Slate, his wife, performed. there was one praise and worship band, and then there was a Christian rock band named Giving Grace. They were awesome. Everybody was awesome. And then I went to see some of my favorite rappers, A$AP Preach and Nikki Gracious. I'm a huge fan of both. And also a big fan of Joe Nestor at Nestor Nation. And then, of course, Brian Trejo was the lead, was the main act. And it was awesome. It was nothing but Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The whole entire event, it was great. They had some nice cars. I like that. Some nice cars in the car show. And I just felt the Lord move in that. It was awesome, man. Like, I didn't go to any races. I went to that. And let's see. But it was such an awesome event. So since I talk about God on the podcast, I figured I'd talk about this event first. But it was such an awesome event, man. Like, all these different artists. Like, I got videos of a lot of these different artists, and I put them on my YouTube at Cooners Outdoors Ministries. And it was so cool. Like, I finally get to meet A$AP Preach, and I get to meet Nikki Gracious, and I nerded out. You can ask Cliff and Chessie. Like, I was so excited. I get to meet my, you know, favorite two rappers. And like, I love a good Christian clean song. And so that was cool. And then by the end, and they had, like, a mobile baptism set up. People was getting baptized. And at the end, Brian T. did the altar call. And had a bunch of different artists, all the different artists from, like, KG Santiago and the Young Disciples and all the other artists got up there on the front stage, in front of the stage with him. And so they did the altar call, all these artists, and they prayed over everybody that came up forward. And then I seen a guy praying over Cliff. And this guy comes up to me a few minutes later, and this guy comes up to me and says, "Hey, brother." He saw my ministry shirt on from my ministry. He said, you mind if I pray for you and pray for your ministry?" And I was like, "Wow, okay, thank you." And so he's praying for me, and I prayed for him, and he prayed out loud. That was just so cool, man. And, like, I didn't think about nothing. I didn't think about work. I didn't think about all the stress, because I've been going through a lot of stress lately. I didn't think about none of that. All I thought about was this was the best day I've had in many, many, long, long time. And best day I've had forever. I just left all my cares, just gave it all to Jesus, man. It was just so great to release all that. And it just made me feel so much better. And that's where I was. I didn't get to make any races. But that was such an awesome event. If you go to my YouTube, Coon Hunters Outdoors Ministries, you can see my videos I got of the concerts. That was really great. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have this podcast. So I always got to give God props and put him first in what I do, because this is a great safety podcast, because, you know, God's our safety net over there at the Race Safer Fuel Arresters. So We'd like for God to be your safety net, because without God, I got nothing. And such a powerful event, man. Like, people was getting saved left and right. If I had to guess, they probably did 10 or 12 baptisms, and maybe that many got saved. I don't know an exact number. But, if it hadn't been so many people by the stage up there, I believe people would have ran up front to the altar and got saved. That was just so cool, man. Look up Brian T. on YouTube and Facebook. He was the headliner, and he did a phenomenal job. Every artist did a phenomenal job, man. If you like good Christian music, then hit me up about these artists. I can send you their pages, some of their music to listen to. And like that song, Heaven Bound, watch the music video of that, man. It's powerful. It's got a nice Z28 Camaro in it, and just a great message. So we got a good show for you. I don't have any guests. I wish I had some guests, but my dumb self didn't think about it till the last minute to line some guests up, and everybody's busy that I asked, so that's understandable. So if you'd like to call in later in the show, I'll let you know when to call in. But the number is 718-664-9861. That's the number to call in. And look, if you're listening, please share this show. Because the more shares, the better. That means a lot to me if y'all share. And see, I get notified when this link gets shared from one of my pages. So if I don't get notified, then that means nobody shared it. But I'd love to get shares because I pay attention to small stuff like that and anything to help my podcast grow. Tag your friends, too. Tag your grandma, your auntie, your uncle, your redneck brother. Tag all your friends and tell them we've got a good podcast here. Safety to Success, Safety and Racing Podcast. And it's presented by Race Safer Fuel Arrester. Thank you, Robbie Johns. RaceSaferFuelArresterLLC.com is our website. Y'all can check us out. In my opinion, we make the best fuel safety device in racing. It's made in the USA. No Chinese-made garbage. It's made of NASA-grade materials. It'll soak up race fuel. That's what it's designed to do. Now, it's not designed to soak up every single bit of your race fuel. It won't do that. But what it will do, it'll soak up enough race fuel to give you time to get out of the car, give you time to get unbuckled and get out to keep you from getting burnt. This will help prevent fuel fires in your race car, prevent your car and driver from catching fire. It's that simple. It's self-explanatory. If you want to know more about it, check us out online at RaceSaferFuelArrester.com, or you can look us up on Facebook at RaceSaferFuelArrester. You can look us up on TikTok. It's RaceSaferFuelArrester. And if it's not listed in Nevada, it'd be under Jared Hudson. But yeah, we got TikTok. And I really would love to earn your business. I really do. So me and Robbie, we got asked by Mr. Brian Littleton with the Race Logic Chassis School. He's the owner. He's been putting on these chassis schools for 30 years. And so thank you, Brian Littleton, for asking us. But he wants us to be a part of his next chassis school, which is in, I want to say he said Mooresville, North Carolina. I'd have to relook at what he sent. But it's going to be in NASCAR's backyard, basically. But it's in January the 6th. Then they got the Cars Trade Show that weekend. But basically, this is a safety class. For this one, it's going to be safety. Nobody's ever done it. Nobody's ever done a school on safety until now. And Brian's doing it. Brian's leading the charge. And me and Robbie back at him 110%. We're on board. It's going to be an all day of teaching safety classes, which is super, super awesome. And we have, right now, they have Longhorn Chassis going to be there. They have Bad Brad, Velocity USA will be there selling their, promoting their fire suits and teaching on fire suit safety and stuff like that. And then me and Robbie will be there, and Robbie is going to be teaching on fuel safety and also like cage safety and stuff, welding. Robbie will be teaching welding too, because a lot of this stuff's not taught, and so many people skip on safety. So many people don't care, in all honesty. And some people do care, they just ain't got the money, or some people just, they just skip it, they just redneck rig it just to get by. Look, I'm as redneck can be, but I don't believe in redneck rigging a race car. Like, no cheap dollar store welds, no duct tape, no Gorilla Glue. There's a time when Gorilla Glue and duct tape works, and race cars is not it. And so we want you to be safe in your race car. And so this is going to be awesome. Like, he's going to have all kind of chassis manufacturers there that build race car chassis. He said some build 10, 20 cars a year. Then you got Longhorn that builds multiple cars a year. And so all the biggest names will be there. And then they got the Cars Trade Show that weekend. And if me and Robbie is blessed to be able to make the trade show too, I hope and pray we can have a booth and have our fuel arrestor on display. And maybe we can get Kyle Jinks to come up there. I want to talk with him about coming up there to have his car on display and show the fuel arrestor in his car. So shout out to Kyle Jinks for Front Wheel Drive Fridays. Y'all go like Front Wheel Drive Fridays on Facebook. Look up Joker Style Kyle on TikTok. And also like or follow Kyle Jinks on Facebook. Just type in Kyle Jinks. You'll find him. And, of course, Front Wheel Drive Fridays. And as Kyle always says, remember, check your safety. Hashtag check your safety is what I say. So shout out to Kyle Jinks. Thank you for buying a fuel arrestor from us. Be cool like Kyle Jinks and buy a fuel arrestor for your race car. What are you waiting on? Safety first. You know, don't want to get in a fuel fire. If you look at our Facebook, we got dozens of fuel fires that we've reported on. But yeah, this safety class will be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know how me and Robbie is going to make it work where we can go, but I'm going to leave that in God's hands, and we're going to get there. I'm just trusting God to provide for us to be able to make it and have a booth there. And then, shoot, maybe we get to tour the NASCAR shops. That would be super cool, man. Oh, that would be awesome. And one thing Brian said, if you have a product, he will not let you sell your product at the safety class. He said, if your product's good enough, he said they'll buy it from you. Okay, I'm fine with that. That's fine. He wants them to promote the product but not sell it. That's fine with me. That's what the trade show's for, is to sell it and promote it. So I'm cool with that. And nobody's ever done that before on safety classes. So check out RaceLogicChassisCool.com. Like their Facebook page and join the group at Race Logic Chassis School. They got a group also. And that's where Brian posts all his updates in the group, plus they got the Facebook page. All right. Well, let's move on along in the show here. And let's see. Oh, Cliff just sent me about a show. Okay, cool. So, I want to talk about Tri-County Speedway first, because that's who I work for. Mighty fine racetrack, mighty fine. All right, so let's go in here, go to my race pass. I don't know how often my race pass is updated, but we're going to see. We're going to look at the points. We're going to look at our upcoming race. So, all right, let's look at the schedule here. Okay, April the 20th, let's see. All right, so the May the 4th race isn't advertised on my race pass. I don't know why. My race pass must be down. Yeah, the last race on there is April the 20th. What in the world? My race pass must be... must have a bug, because they're always pretty good at... Shoot, here we are 2 days from race day, and it's not even showing our next race. Golly, man. I need to see who to contact about that. Okay, well then, I'll go to our Facebook page. Let's see. I'm super, super, super excited about this weekend. So we're going to have a good weekend of racing. So let me get our Facebook page pulled up. And let's see here. Let's go see. I'm on Facebook search. TRI. I was just on there today. There it is. Tri-County Speedway. Pollard, Alabama. Here's our address, 2988 Old Highway 31, Flemington, Alabama. That is our address. You can find us pretty easy. It's in between Flemington and Bruton in the community of Pollard. Little redneck community of Pollard. Alright, so let's scroll on down. Alright, here's the original post. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Nah, not really. How about next week? There'll be a Star Wars dress-up contest for ages 12 and under at intermission on May the 4th. So dress up as your favorite character. Now is the time to show our younger race fans here at Tri-County Speedway how much we appreciate them. We will have a boy winner and a girl winner. Also, each child ages 12 and under will receive a free 16-inch foam glow stick at admission window while supplies last. May the 4th be with you here at the Swamp. We can't wait for another great night of racing in the Iron Horse Late Models, Impact Zone Photo Bombers, the 602 Late Models, Advanced Environmental Recycling 602 Late Models, Pure Stocks, and of course the mods, IMCA Rules, and seeing all of our Star Wars racing fans. And that's cool, they got Darth Vader on the thing, and it looks just like a Star Wars like theme poster. That is cool, man. That's so cool. Ages 12 and under. Each child 12 and under will receive a free 16-inch foam glow stick with admission while supplies last. All right, so let's scroll on up. Pits open at 3:30. Grandstands at 5. Racing at 7. All right, sweet. Oh, y'all got to go to our Facebook page. I wish I was live on Facebook so I could show you also. But if you go to our Facebook page, look at the trophies. Sneak peek at the May the 4th Be With You trophies for the weekend. A little different than usual. These are going to look great in someone's collection or a great starter if it's your first feature win. Photos by Stevie. Thank you, Stevie, for the photos. This is cool, man. These trophies are really cool. They're black. They got gold on the front, like gold plated, and says first place is Tri-County Speedway, the Swamp, feature winner, Pollard. And on the top, it's got a race car. Got like a little dirt race car on the top of them. These things look fancy with a capital F. Man, these are cool, man. So if you race IMCA mods, you want to come race with us. We're paying $700 to win for the mods. And let's see what other classes. Click our video here. We got a May the 4th Be With You video. Let's see, talks about the costume party. Iron Horse Late Models, $600. $700 for first-time feature winner. So if you somebody that wins all the time in Iron Horse, you'll just get $600. Or if you've won this year, but if you haven't, $700 for a first-time feature winner. So who all we got going to come for that first-time feature winner pot? That's $700. If you've never won before. How cool is that? That's cool as grits, man. So that's cool. And then the next one, Impact Zone Photo Bombers, $500. Then it's $600 to win if you're a first-time feature winner. So I'd love to see a first-time feature winner in both these classes. Can Kayla Gassner win her first ever race? We'll see. The Bombers, Pure Stocks, $400. And then the Advanced Environmental Recycling 602 Late Models are on tap. And they're racing for $700, which is awesome. Shout out to my buddy Jamie Mazingo, Mazingo Racing. Maybe he's got his car fixed up right and he can run with the big boys. Well, watch out for that Dale Lucas or Kid Missile. He probably going to take it. We'll see. Then we got the IMCA mods running the IMCA rules. We are not sanctioned by them. Just run the rules. $700. So we'll probably see like Jimmy Dunaway, Greg Hopkins, and some big names like that. Maybe old L.J. Falk or Fred Flintstone himself. Yabba Dabba Doo may be there with his mod. And so let's scroll on up here. All right, go to Tri-County Speedway. Scroll on up. There's the trophies. And May the 4th is the grandstand. It's hump day. Yeah, that was one day ago. Okay, hump day. May the 4th be with you. Tri-County Speedway. Epic battle that will take place lap after lap in each class. The countdown is on for takeoff and the following classes. Let's see. Okay, so let's. What? Okay, I just read those. And then pits open 3:30, main gate 5, racing activity 7, Star Wars costume contest intermission, race car photos, compliments from Mr. David Kranick with Impact Zone photos. Shout out to my friend David Kranick. He's awesome. Oh, he's done a lot for me, teaching me how to take photos and stuff. And so now that I'm not the announcer, I don't take photos anymore. That plus my camera's broke. But I also got to give a shout out to my buddy Artie Schick with the Southern Dirt Track Report, who I work with. I film races when I'm not working at Tri-County. I film at Deep South, Northwest Florida, other racetracks. And if you want to see my feature videos, and join the Southern Dirt Track Report supporters group on Facebook. It's $4.99 a month. That's where all of our feature videos go. Artie, Amber, me, and whoever else films for the team. That's where all of our videos go. So if you want to see any of our videos in this season, that's where they're going to be at. I love my new video camera, man. The one I got as a gift is by far phenomenal. It's 10 times better than my other one. My other one is really cool looking, and it's awesome, but it's just old as dirt. And it takes those little cassette tapes, and this new one is so much faster. It's like, it's HD. It's like, oh my gosh, it's 1,000 times better. Wow, I hope I didn't mess up my audio. Just then, I had a call come in. Anyways, I lost my train of thought. So, anyways, yeah, I filmed the races for Southern Dirt Track Report, so it's pretty awesome. And shout out to Artie. If I ever make it big, and I make it big, selling fuel arrest or whatever, and just end up making good money, Artie's going to be one of the first people that I help out, for real, man. He can't catch a break, man. His car keeps breaking down, like, just one thing after the other, man. And he's got the trailer he needs to get back going. He's got a really nice enclosed trailer that he's got a wrap he's going to get put on it for the Southern Dirt Track Report, and we'll use it to take to the races and promote Southern Dirt Track Report. So he's got this nice trailer. He just needs a little help getting it fixed up and going. And then he's got a wrap that he's going to get on it, so that's going to look cool. And then hopefully Artie can find him a really good job and get him a new car. But y'all keep Artie in your prayers. That's my dude. I thank Artie for what he does for me with the Southern Dirt Track Report and whatnot. And also, look us up on Facebook, Southern Dirt Track Report. We're also looking for volunteers. If you do asphalt racing, dirt racing, drag racing, and you want to film the races, then we could use you. We could use volunteers, for real. Let's see. So yeah, we got a big following on our main page, and we're looking for people to do asphalt racing too, asphalt and drag racing, because currently we only have just a few people that does dirt racing. We'd love for somebody to promote the asphalt racing, share Mobile International Speedway, Montgomery Motor Speedway, Five Flags. Anybody wants to join the team and share the post about their tracks, we'd love for somebody to do that. And then if you want a double bonus for us, if you want to video the asphalt races too, that would be awesome. We can get you set up on that. And one day, it's Artie's dream, and I'd love to do it too. if we made it full time, the way we could do pay per views and stuff, be a full time job working for Southern Dirt Track Board, that would be the dream, you know. And if it's God's will, it'll happen in due time. I'm just gonna keep praying and put it in God's hands. And so, speaking of racing, we're gonna talk about Deep South Speedway real quick. Then we're gonna talk NASCAR, and then we're gonna talk safety some more. And so, I'm gonna go to Facebook here and look at Deep South Speedway's post. Oh, I love Deep South Speedway because it's right there on the beach. It's a big track. I really do miss Deep South Speedway being 0.4 mile, man. Big racetracks are awesome. Big racetracks have always been my favorite. The bigger, the faster. But it's still pretty big. It's just not as big as it was, sadly. But they got some good racing over there. Shout out to Mr. Billy Roberson and my friend Mitch Katera, the announcer, Ryan Carpenter, and, of course, Jeff Clark, the race director. Good people over there. The last race I was over there, they got me to they got me to pray. So I got to pray for the driver's meeting. And then I got to pray over the intercom, which is cool. So shout out to Mitch for getting me to lead the prayer the last race I was there. And Mitch is a great announcer. I've learned from Mitch announcing. And Mr. Billy is super good people, man. He's really good about his family atmosphere. They have a good family atmosphere, just like we do at Tri-County. So Deep South Speedway is racing this weekend. They have a May the 4th Be With You race also. May the 4th Be With You this weekend. Come on out Deep South Speedway and take a picture with a Star Wars car. Pit gates open at 4:30. Grandstands open at 5. Hot laps are immediately after the driver's meeting. So what they're talking about in the Star Wars cars, that's my buddy Derek Kane Long. Kane's Warrior Kids. So go on Facebook and look up Kane's Warrior Kids. Derek Long, man, that's my friend, man. We go back a few years. So I met Derek several years ago. He's a big Star Wars nut. So the past 2 or 3 years, he's been turning his pure stock into a Star Wars-themed car. And he's got a bunch of sponsors like Pull Apart Auto Parts, Spring Hill Toyota. There's several sponsors that sponsor him. And he also has a mobile traffic business where he does the traffic reports on all the radio stations. And so Derek's pretty cool. Another cool thing about Derek is he leads the Celebrate Recovery at his church, the music. He plays the drums for his church's band on Sundays. And then he helps with the Celebrate Recovery, plays the drums for that. So that's pretty cool, his church. And so Kane's Warrior Kids is a nonprofit basically for helping kids with childhood pediatric cancer. And if your kid has pediatric cancer, then they will help you with that. They will help you go through all that, which is awesome. And that's a horrible thing to go through. But look up Kane's Warrior Kids on Facebook. Kane, he donates to his nonprofit. He gets people to donate. They do events all the time. And go look at his Star Wars themed car if you go to Deep South Speedway this weekend. You'll love his car. He's a big Star Wars nut. He's got like the Millennium Falcon, C-3PO, all of them on his car. It's just so cool. I'm a Star Wars fan myself, so this Saturday they have, let's see, regular weekly racing. We have the Street Stocks, Crate Racing USA Street Stocks, Pure Stocks, Factory Stocks, Open Wheel Modifieds, Stingers, and a 604 Light Miles. Pit gates open at 4:30. Grandstands open at 5. Hot laps immediately after the driver's meeting. Look forward to seeing everybody. I love the Star Wars themes of these races, man. That's cool. So they're not necessarily doing anything special for the, like, except for having Kane's car on display. Y'all get to see the Star Wars car, so y'all got to go check that out. So it's just a regular racing, plus you'll get to see Kane's car, which is cool. So, and if you don't go to Deep South Speedway this weekend, come race with us at Tri-County Speedway. I hated we both raced on top of each other, but, you know, sometimes that's just unavoidable. You're going to have races where you just race on top of your other tracks that are nearby, so it can't be helped sometimes. But so Deep South Speedway should have a good many car count. And then plus, they race in some of the cars that's that we're not racing, like the 604s and the Stingers. So and then plus, they don't race the IMC mods, so pure stocks. Yeah, the pure stocks will be the only two that we'll have, that they'll have. So I'm super excited about this weekend's racing. The Day family is super awesome. Thank you, Isaiah. Thank you. Thank you, Miss Marilyn, Jamie Bell, everybody. Oh, we got a caller called in. Everybody that made it possible for me to have this job. I love announcing. I get animated. So I believe we got my buddy Adam Monahan called in. So let me get Adam on the phone here. So let me do the crowd. Give him a clap.
What's going on?
Hey, buddy. How you doing, buddy?
Well, doing all right. How's the show going so far? I just got in and was able to... I seen your text and put you as on your thing, so I listened for a little bit, and I was like, you know what? I got a little bit to talk about once you get to the NASCAR part of your show.
Yes. So we're going to go into the NASCAR segue. It's going pretty good. The show's going great. I didn't have no guests for tonight. My dumb self forgot to ask people if they wanted to be a guest until the last minute, so it's understandable why nobody could show up.
I surprised you. So I guess I'll be a guest for a second.
that's fine with me. The more the merrier. I'm glad because you. So for those that's listening, Adam's one of these people. Like even though we've never met, I consider you one of my brothers, man. Like you, one of my. Like I got a small friend circle of people that I can just go to war with and just trust them. And people, and you're one of those people that like you've done a lot for me. So I've done some stuff for you and. This is just, you're one of my great friends, so I'm glad you got to call in.
Oh, well, man, I appreciate that. And, you know, you're as good as gold to me, man. You know, you're a solid dude. Everything you put, you know, effort into, it seems to be pretty awesome. You know, I know you got a couple other different pods or whatever you call them. Like you do a couple Facebook Lives and stuff like that, and they're always ran real well. So always enjoy listening if I can. But yeah, man. I heard you talking about you guys got a big Star Wars thing going on, and
yes,
I'm a big Star Wars guy too, not Star Trek.
Okay, I like both, but I don't know, man. If I had to pick a favorite between Star Trek and Star Wars, man, that is tough, man, because I'm a big fan of both. But okay, I hear you. So both racetracks this weekend, I mentioned they're racing on top of each other, and sometimes that can't be avoided, you know. So Deep South Speedway is racing. They're having their May the 4th race, and we're having a May the 4th race. So what we're doing at our intermission is all the kids are going dressed in Star Wars-themed costumes, and we're going to pick a boy winner and a girl winner, and they're going to get some prizes to who has the best Star Wars costume. And then at Deep South, Derek Long has a Pure Stock, which Pure Stock is basically a car. You go to a junkyard, pick it up, and you can do some modifications to it. And it's cool. Like Pure Stock's a step above Bomber. And so Derek's car... It's Star Wars themed race car with all his sponsors on it. You should. I'll send you a picture of it. But it's got the Millennium Falcon. It's got C-3PO. No, I'm not. I'm announcing at the other one.
Okay.
So both tracks are doing. They're doing Star Wars themed races, and so Deep South is over there going towards the beach. It's in Loxley, Alabama, and then. Ayers is in between Bruton and Flemington in the Pollard community. And so Derek, his car is so cool, man. Like, it's got everything Star Wars. He's a big Star Wars nerd like you are. And he, like, he calls his car the Millennium Falcon. And so he can't drive right now. But it's cool, though. I like you know what? I'm going to see if I can find that car and send you a picture of it.
That'd be cool. Well, but you know what? It's awesome that you guys are doing this for the kids, too, in the intermissions. That's awesome that local tracks do that. And like you said, you know, it just happens sometimes. Scheduling is what it is. Like, we've had promotions. Like, you know that my best friend runs that the mixed martial arts show. And sometimes, you know, it just happens that there's a show in St. Louis, you know, because, you know, I'm an hour south of St. Louis, and they got a big show, LFA, up there, or Shamrock FC or whatever. They have a same, you know, it just happens, but that, to me, shows that there's an interest everywhere for it. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yes. And that's a good point. And so I want to shout out. So tell everybody about your podcast, 573 to the 619, right?
615.
615, okay.
Yeah, you're thinking of Rey Mysterio.
Oh, Rey Mysterio, look. You know you got WWE on the brain when you...
Yeah, so we just... Yeah, so a buddy of mine, TJ, and I have a sports podcast. It's 573 to the 615 Sports Talk. You know, he lives in the 615. I live in the 573. He's in Tennessee. I'm in Missouri. And we just, you know, we cover the, you know, latest news on sports, whether, you know, like right now the NBA is going on, so the playoffs. You got the draft that just happened. We were unable to do our show last week. We're going to do one this week, but that's fine. Not a big deal. But, you know, it's been fun. You know, I've been grateful to been aligned with some good people that have been given good advice along the way, and Jared being one of them. Jared actually produces our show. So it's pretty cool. We're on Instagram, or not Instagram. We're on, I don't even know why I said that. We're on YouTube. And it's the same thing. It's 573-615. So we're live on YouTube. At the same time, we're live on Blog Talk. And then we're going to add a third one. We're going to add TikTok in this mix too. So that way, you know, there's three different things going. More people get traction. So, but anyway, enough about me. It's all about your show, man.
Okay.
You know, and I appreciate you giving me a shout. I really do. I really appreciate that. You've been doing this way long.
Y'all be sure and like and subscribe to his YouTube.
Yeah, we got about 108 over there right now, subs on it. It's pretty cool. It doesn't, you know, that's what I like about YouTube. It don't cost you nothing, you know, to subscribe or follow or whatever. So, but yeah, like I said, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't know anything about Blog Talk or anything. So, you know, but that's,
I tell you what,
you know, and we always try to keep God in the forefront of all of it, you know, so.
Amen. I like how you put God first, and you always have something good to say at the end of your show, which is cool.
Yeah, it's an everyday thing, man. It's all, you know, take one day at a time and try to do the right things. You know, we're all human. We all make mistakes. You know, it's how you bounce back from them and stuff like that, you know. But anyway, what else you got going?
Okay, so let's go to the NASCAR segment. So
okay.
I'm a big NASCAR fan. I've been watching NASCAR since Moby Dick was a sardine. Like, I remember my earliest NASCAR. Yeah, you know, that's a long time. I can remember in 1990 was Brett Bodine and Jeff Bodine, and Brett Bodine, I believe, had a Quaker State car. It was a green 26 Quaker State. I remember being fans of them. I was a wee little lad back then. I
didn't
know much about it.
About 8 years old, was you?
I said I was born in 85, so.
I was five. You're 5 years old.
Okay, 5 years old. Okay. So, I
have been watching it a while.
And so, like, I've been to Talladega Super Speedway. I've been there 6 times. Once for a Busch Series race. And then I've been the other times I went to watch the Cup Series. I've never been to a Truck Series race. That's on my bucket list. And then I've been to the dirt track, the Talladega short track, which is the Hornet's Nest. It's actually next door. Like, instead of turning to the big racetrack, you go down less than a half a mile, and there's the dirt track on the left there. And, on the left. And so that's cool. But, I've been watching this season's NASCAR, and I love it. It's been great. What do you think so far?
I mean, usually on Sundays, I give you a ring, and we end up video chat, but we're only not in video chat. We're just on video, both watching NASCAR, and people probably think we were dorks or whatever. But, I'll call you, say the race is at 12, I call you at 1, and then we're on the dang thing till about 3. For a 2-hour video chat, did you see this? You know, it's like, well, I mean, it's just, you're in Alabama, Missouri. It's just what you got to do to hang out with friends sometimes, And it's been great, man. This season has been, I've only missed one race so far. I think it's been very interesting. Denny Hamlin and Truex, I think, are running really well this year. I think you introduced me to some of the new racers that I have, because I told you I kind of got out of NASCAR, because I was a Jeff Gordon guy, which that probably don't set well with everybody in here, but that's fine.
Jeff Gordon's a man.
You love Jeff Gordon, you don't like him, so.
That's right.
and anything Hendrick Motorsports, really. I loved when Junior came on to Hendrick right before he had retired. Jimmy Johnson, I liked him. I mean, I followed him because Gordon had retired, and Johnson was almost – he had a few years after that. So, but, yeah, I've watched NASCAR for a lot of years, too. I don't think at 5, I'm 43. I probably started watching NASCAR realistically probably my early 20s. Realistically,
cool.
I was probably
I
was probably like 20, 21, like whenever I got into it. I had a buddy of mine, his dad was a big Earnhardt Senior fan. He goes to Talladega every year. They leave on Tuesday, they come back on Monday. Like, I mean, it's like a week deal. Like, they stay down there and camp in their big RVs or whatever, And they've got the center passes or whatever you call it. Anyway, I had an opportunity to go about 8 years ago, and I ended up getting the flu, really bad stomach bug, so I didn't end up getting to go. It was all – everything paid for. All I do is just get in the vehicle and go with them.
Wow.
But they do it every year, and they've done it for 20 years plus that they leave. They go down there for a week, and – apparently it's a great time. The season's been cool.
If you go next year, let me know, and I'll get tickets, and I'll go, and we'll meet up, and we'll hang out.
That'd be cool. No, I just think it's been cool. I come across some news. That's why I wanted to call in, because you said you're going to talk about NASCAR. I was like, cool, man, I got something I might be able to offer. Eric Jones has been cleared to return. He'll sit out Kansas, return to the 43 ride set for Darlington. Eric Jones was the one that was hurt at Talladega.
Yes. Man.
Yeah, he had a labrum injury, a vertebrae.
Concussion.
A fractured vertebrae in his lower back.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So, did you know this? Did you know that Jimmy Johnson is a NASCAR team owner now?
He is a NASCAR owner, yeah.
Okay, so it's Legacy Motor Club, And sadly, they drive Toyotas. I wish they were Chevrolet, but he struck a deal with Toyota.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, so, like, he's always been a Chevrolet guy, so that's just shocking. But Toyota must have offered him a bunch of money. So a lot of people don't know this. So he still drives, which is great. He drove last weekend. So he drives the 84. And then John Hunter Nemechek, which is Joe Nemechek's son, he drives the 42. And then Eric Jones drives, of course, the 43, like you said. So that's Team Legacy Motor Club. And so, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because a lot of people don't, because that's just breaking news today. So I'm on Legacy's Facebook, and they're saying Eric Jones has been cleared to race by doctors, approved to return by NASCAR. But out of the abundance of caution, the team has opted for Jones to rest another event. Corey Heim will drive the 43 car, Dollar Tree Toyota Camry XSE at Kansas Speedway. Jones will attend the race at Kansas Speedway to support the crew chief Dave Ellens and the number 43 team. Plans to return to the driver's seat, a track where he has two NASCAR victories. So Corey Heim, people that don't know who he is, he's the Truck Series champion. I don't remember if he won it last year or not, but anyways, he's a darn good driver. So for him to replace him for the weekend is cool. So tell everybody, I know you saw it. You saw that wreck of Eric Jones. That was a violent wreck.
Yeah. I didn't know how bad it was. They've come a long way. I know that you're big on the safety deal, and this part of your, big talking points, you talk a lot about safety. And even though they've made the game of racing so safe, it just goes to show you it's not safe enough. I mean, it's just, I don't think, in my opinion, racing couldn't be safer. So I will say that. In this day and age, it could be. But.
Yes.
And not a capital but a lowercase but. you could have a little bit more safety, but it's like, what else do you do? It's like when you think you've got it figured out, then this one person sustains this injury, and then they got to figure out what they can do. You know, because the thing that was so eye-opening to me really quick on safety, I know you're going to go back into safety in here in a little bit, and sorry to get ahead on
you. Oh, sure, go ahead.
I find it strange that when Senior got – it took Senior dying for them to go, you know what, we need to put safety first. Even though other drivers before Senior had passed and died from injuries or whatever. But
yes,
the fact that they didn't have that attachment to the back of your helmet or like in the cockpit surrounding your head, that to me was just mind-blowing that they didn't even – I just assumed that was probably already in there. Like, to me, that's common sense safety. To me, that's common sense. Why wouldn't you want to have something that holds your neck in position to where you can't get swung around? You know,
that's right. And you know,
lighter, faster. Because back then, technology, you had to do a lot of things to make your car lighter. And they probably felt, oh, if we put this big safety horseshoe-looking thing in there with our head sits inside, kind of like reminds me of like something you put on to ride a roller coaster. And
yes.
That'll weigh the car down and blah, blah, blah. Well, I mean, it cost a man his life and one of the greatest of all time to do it. I wasn't a big – I mean, personally, I didn't like him as a racer because they had some of the best battles ever.
Sure.
But as a human and what he stood for, I liked. But in any athlete that loses – they lose their life or they get hurt, sustained injuries while doing something. It's always – it's just tragic and awful. But I do love where the game is at as far as racing, as far as safety, where it's at. But like I said, I didn't mean to –
and, you know
– safety.
Oh, no. We're going to transition to safety. So, like – so Robbie was telling me this. So Robbie was working with one of the NASCAR teams. I can't remember which one it was. He was working with one of the NASCAR teams – at Daytona that year that Dale Earnhardt died. He was there in pit road, and he was either working for a NASCAR team or he was working for, I can't remember the name of the company, but they sold all the racing parts to all the NASCAR teams at the track. So if they needed wheels, they needed safety gear, whatever, then his company he worked for had it, and they sold it to him. Well, he said one of the things that killed Dale Earnhardt sure, his neck snapped from hitting and didn't have a neck restraint. But they said that they loosened his seatbelts, and his seatbelts come loosened. Like, well, they loosened it and thought it was tight. Well, his seatbelts weren't tight enough, and that's what ultimately killed him.
Oh, wow.
His seatbelts come loose.
Why
and
would they loosen?
Slung his neck. I don't remember exactly the total deal.
That's
like you know how like when you get in a car, you have to cinch it down real tight. And I don't think it was necessarily they loosened it. I think they were trying to adjust it, and they didn't get it adjusted tight enough. And then during the race, it popped loose even more. And to this day, Sterling Marlin blames himself for killing him. And Sterling Marlin, he's got dementia now, and he still races, but he doesn't race NASCAR. He races, like, asphalt late models. And Sterling Marlin, they said he's 60-something years old and still blames himself to this day. I'm like, dude, I recorded that on VHS, and it wasn't Sterling Marlin hit him, but Dale Earnhardt was already wrecked at the point Sterling Marlin hit him. That's not what killed him. And so the Hans device, I can't remember the guy's name. It's something Hans. But he had that device out there. But it's just like, it's the same thing, in my opinion, as the fuel arrestor. People back then, they probably, if I had to guess, they joked about it. They said, oh, we don't need that. We don't need something like that. That's stupid.
Right.
Silly.
It's going to weigh the car down. It's gonna,
Yes. And then it took, like you said, it took him dying for them to make that mandatory. So I tell Robbie all the time, and I even told this to Brian Littleton, and I hate to say this, but it's going to take somebody local that I know getting burnt and for them to finally say, they're going to say, well, you know what? Jared and Robbie's not stupid. Maybe we need to check into buying a fuel arrestor because we just got burnt or my driver got burnt or so-and-so. That's what it's going to take for somebody to really buy one.
Well, I sure hope it don't take that, of course, and I know you don't hope that.
Yes.
But you're right, though,
yes,
in a lot of sense. And the thing is because at the NASCAR level, yes, you know, to me, you've dissected this whole thing about the fuel and all that stuff. They've got things in place in NASCAR to whatever. But your as I call it, your mom and pop or your amateur tracks like that you go to. I know they're racers and they're professionals. I'm just saying, like, that's just what I call them, you know. They don't have the means, the necessary money. Like you just said, you're going to go to a junkyard and you're going to buy a car and you're going to assume you're going to race it. Like, there's nothing protecting that fuel cell.
That's right.
You're also not trying to sell to those people. I get that. But I just think, like you said, it's all about timing, and you guys are going to get there. You guys know how to grind and keep at it, and you know, like I said, hopefully it's sooner than later and it doesn't take something like that happening and people just start being like, hey, we need to take this serious. But you're right, until you see something personally tragically happen, there's not going to be a circuit that's going to pick it up. But
that's right.
But yeah,
well, that's,
another thing,
that's like
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, too, just some other news that way, because I know you got a whole segment on safety. I didn't want to go down, didn't want to throw you into that yet.
Oh,
but
no, that's good. That's fine if you want to go. Yeah, that's fine. I don't care. I ain't got no certain orders. So.
Yeah. Well, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Signs a contract extension with JTG Daugherty Racing.
That's awesome. I did not see that.
Yeah, signed it on 11 o'clock this morning. He's been an asset to the team since joining in 2020. Owner Gordon Smith said winning the Daytona 500 was a huge accomplishment for our small team, and I know more trips are to victory lane are in the future with Ricky at the wheel. So he is back with JTG Daugherty Racing.
So look,
cool.
I did not know that. So the cool thing about JTG Daugherty, I've actually met Ricky Stenhouse. He drives a dirt car also when he's not running NASCAR. And he come down to Southern Raceway a few years ago, and he raced the USCS Sprint Cars, which is United Sprint Car Sanction Association or whatever it's called. And anyways, it's a 360 wing sprint car, which means they have a big 360 big block in it. And so he raced. He won night one. I met him both nights. And he was super, super nice, super friendly guy, man. Like, he talked just like me and you. He didn't act like he was this big NASCAR, big shot. He signed autograph. I mean, anybody that won his autograph, he signed it. And he spoke to me like I was a regular dude. And that made me become a huge fan and respect him. And so JTG Daugherty, so you mentioned the other owner, which I'm glad you did that because I didn't know his name. But Brad Daugherty is the other owner. And if you watch when they do NASCAR on Fox a lot of times, Brad Daugherty's the guy that does the announcing also, which is cool.
So, yeah, that's pretty cool that you met that guy. And, you know, just like I said, I had seen this morning when I had took a break. We had the rain move in, so I sat in the truck for the rain to pass. It was all just on the old interwebs. And like I said, I was just looking at some stuff, and a thing that popped up was what we've been mentioning. Another thing that stuck out to me, because, you know, basketball I cover is one of my favorite sports.
Yes.
Michael Jordan and the 23 XI Racing co-owner says NASCAR is going to die if its business model isn't improved. And so he says only a few weeks after celebrating his first person win as a NASCAR Cup Series owner, Michael Jordan took to public stance on the ongoing charter and revenue sharing negotiations between NASCAR and its teams, stressing that need for a better business model in stock car racing. Jordan, NBA legend, international basketball, is co-owner of 23XI Racing. Presently, NASCAR and its teams have been in a standoff on renewing the sports charter system, a franchise-style model that was introduced in 16, to provide team owners tangible assets and ensure all 36 charter teams guaranteed spot in each Cup Series. As reported by The Athletic, the team's owners are seeking for charters to become made permanent. The current agreement is set to expire at the end of the season, as to no risk being left with a worthless investment. However, NASCAR has reserved the right to revoke charter in the event that team is not operating to its competitive professional standards. And NASCAR CEO Jim France reportedly sought to not stray too far from how his grandfather, Bill France, would have operated. NASCAR teams were independent contractors for many years, and many have operated on a loss even with introduction of the charter system. That's the enormous difference between stick and ball sports, where Michael Jordan and business partner Curtis Polk come from. Jordan stumped for the permanent charters as a means of ensuring NASCAR's long-term survival. If you have permanent charters, then you could create a revenue system, either with new investors or different types of sponsorships, that would subsidize the type of variance between ownership and league, Jordan said. That's a big, big miss there. If you don't correct that, this sport's going to die, not because of the competition aspect, but because economically it doesn't make sense for any business people. If in all partnerships, if you grow the pie, that means your business is going to continue to grow. And to grow the pie, you've got to make sure everybody's healthy within the partnership. If our ownership is in NASCAR, is losing money, and NASCAR is the only one making money, that's not a good partnership. End quote.
Wow. So what do you think about
that? I know
that
was a bit of a read. I know that was a bit of a read, guys, but I just thought that was very important.
I'm glad you,
because my, you know.
That is huge news. I'm glad you read that because I did not. Because I watched him win a few weeks ago when his driver. Not Eric Jones, but the other one. Anyways, when he won.
Yeah, you got me drawn, Frank.
Oh, my gosh. That's going to drive me crazy. The 41 car, what is his name? Man. Oh.
Yeah, he runs the 41 because that was Michael Jordan's number.
Yeah,
no,
hold up. Let me go to. You know what? Let me go.
I was pulling it up, too.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to look this up on Facebook, 2311 Racing. There we go. I know it because I'm a fan of him. That drives me crazy. All right, 2311 Racing. He drives a Toyota. Oh, not Eric Jones.
Tyler Reddick and
Tyler Reddick.
Bubba Wallace, Tyler Reddick, and
yes.
Kamu Kobayashi.
Yes, that's it. That's it. Tyler Reddick, 45. That's right. The 45 of Tyler Reddick. That's right. Like, Tyler Reddick won the race. Yes, and we didn't see, like, we had no idea that Tyler Reddick was going to win the race because it was, I can't remember who was leading, but they were dominating. I was so upset. I like Tyler Reddick as a driver, and I just hate Toyota cars. But it was still cool because Denny Hamlin's part owner, and then he drives
yeah.
and Joe Gibbs Racing. That's right. That's right. Denny Hamlin was going to win it, and then he got
yep.
in a wreck. And so even though he was mad about getting knocked out, his driver won the race. But the cool thing
correct.
Was, like, I love it when they interview the top 10 drivers. Well, this time they must have run out of time and could only interview two. But they interviewed
yeah.
Michael Jordan. I've never seen Michael Jordan so happy in my life. Just to hear – he picked up Tyler Reddick's son. And, like, I've always been a Michael Jordan fan, as you have. And that was cool to see him as a NASCAR owner. And they said that Michael Jordan goes to every single race there is.
Yep.
So how cool
yep.
is that? So, okay, so what do you take about what Michael Jordan said about the charter system?
Well, I think that he's right, because who wants to work and bust your butt, and then the people that take the profits is an NASCAR organization. You'll get a little piece of the
yes.
pie, but you grow the pie, but you only get the crust of the pie.
Yes,
you get the whole crust, but you just get the crust. All the good filling part NASCAR gets.
And he's 100% right on that. And used to, the small teams, like Joe Nemechek had a team. The small teams, like Levine Family Racing, which my favorite driver, Michael McDowell, used to race for Levine Family Racing, or Levine Family, I think that's what it's called, Levine Family. And the Levine Family just got to where they couldn't afford it anymore, so they got out of it. And so luckily Michael McDowell found a ride with Front Row Motorsports. But some of these teams, man, they struggle. But, like, I've been watching it for years. These small teams struggle to make it to the racetrack.
Right.
Well, now,
right.
now that they got this new car, I love this new car, and I love the stage racing. And I'm sure there's going to be people get mad at me and say the stage racing is dumb, and I'll explain why I like the stage racing. So the stage racing, they do three stages. First stage and the second stage is where you get your bonus points. And then the third stage is, of course, your last one. And so you're eligible for bonus points for the first two stages. Well, stage racing, Michael Waltrip was my all-time favorite, and he admitted this. He admitted to where, especially at Talladega, he would wait till the last half of the race and then charge to the front. And
exactly.
he admitted it. So, what now?
No, I said exactly. I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, and so a lot of drivers admitted to wait until the end to charge to the front. Well, with stage racing, they have to run 110% the whole race. They can't just hang back until the end. And so that's great to me because it forces the drivers to give 110% the whole race because they want them stage points. If you get in the top 10, you get stage points. And obviously the winner of the stage gets the most of the bonus points. And so they run 110% the whole entire race. They don't wait till the end. And the new car is more even than the other car because I've actually seen your smaller teams come to the front and win races like Front Row Motorsports, like Michael McDowell or drivers like that have won now where they couldn't before. But it's still super, super expensive, and a lot of these teams still struggle to make it to the track. And with the charter system, with NASCAR profiting most of the money, I agree with Jordan, that's not right.
Yeah, and it made sense because, I mean, you were just talking about stage racing 2 weeks ago. I was asking you what you thought of it and stuff like that, and I said I kind of like it at times. I kind of don't. You know, I told you that, you know. And then when you brought that
yes.
up about how the points, and I agree, it does make it interesting from the first lap to the 100th lap. If that's, you just say it's 100 laps, right? Or the 500th
yes.
lap, whatever. It's interesting all the way through because, like what you were saying about Waltrip and other guys that would sit back, and people back, if you think about this, back in the day, people would be like, I only watched NASCAR last five laps because that's when the big wreck's going to happen. Well, why do
that's
people
right.
didn't realize why was there always a big wreck at the end? Because that's when you people are, like you said, pushing towards the front, running three and four wide at 200 mile an hour into turn two. And, you know, now people are strategically placing themselves throughout the 1 through 30. You know what I'm saying? They're not just sitting in the back of the pack. And you have still big wrecks, yes, at those big, you know, when you can get up big horsepower and big speeds. But they're not like they used to be because, in my opinion, a lot of the wrecks stemmed from people sitting in the middle or back of the pack and then pushing real, real hard. And then, well, being aggressive causes big wrecks. So that's why people, I would always tell people, well, that's why you're seeing them, because they're making a move now. Now you're seeing people make moves lap 5, lap 7, lap 25, like you know.
Yes.
So.
And so here's another question for you. So I'm a huge fan of this too. I love the lucky dog, which if a driver, like the first car lap down, gets a lap back. I love that. But the main thing I want to ask you is, so a lot of people, I follow every single NASCAR team on Facebook. I follow all the NASCAR on Fox, NASCAR on NBC. I follow the NASCAR official page on Facebook. Like, I study the drivers' pages, all this kind of stuff, and I read the comments. A lot of people get mad and say, go back to the old way of NASCAR. We like the way they had the champion. Well, I love the way they do it now, where they do the top things like top 16 drivers or top 12 drivers, whatever it is now. And I like that because at the end when they run for the championship, because the old style, you knew who the championship winner was three races to go. They had such a big lead that it didn't matter if you won all three races, you was not catching them. And with this
like
new
why
system,
why even go out there and compete?
Yes, and with the new system, it forces these drivers, it resets them, and then they have to fight to keep in the playoffs. And it's kind of like football in a way. I like the way they do that because I mean, these people don't realize that, like, how many times did Jeff Gordon win a race, win a championship, and he was, like, you know, two or three races ahead. He was so far ahead, he could finish dead last in the next two races and still win the championship, you know.
Well, Jimmy Johnson, I mean, he won 7, you know. Like,
yes.
He won 6 in a row. It's like, you knew with 3 races left in the season, who's winning? Like,
that's right.
You know. So, but, yeah,
it's smart the way they do it. I mean,
yeah. So, but a couple days ago, also Kyle Busch Motorsports has dropped a lawsuit against Rev Racing. Didn't know if you'd heard about this or not, but Kyle Busch Motorsports was suing Rev Racing for underpaid fees for 2023 NASCAR Crash and Shit Truck Series. Bob Pockrass of Fox Sports reported that KBM claimed the lawsuit that Rev Racing owed them $325,000. KBM partnered with Rev Racing last season, providing trucks for the team. Nick Sanchez piloted number 2 Chevrolet as per the agreement. Busch Motorsports would be paid $2.9 million. Rev Racing states on its website that the competition of the arms of the NASCAR Driver Diversity Program serves as NASCAR supporting racing team charged with developing drivers and pit crew members from diverse backgrounds and experiences in NASCAR development series at the highest level. Aspire Motorsports, for which Kyle Busch is driving 5 truck series for the season, is now supplying trucks for Rev Racing. Busch sold KBM to Aspire Motorsports this past September. Sanchez won the first race of 24 at Daytona Speedway. Kyle Busch sold that was a terrible, terrible read there. That's all they wrote.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how Kyle Busch has been solid finishing at Dover, and meanwhile, it talks about Kyle Busch Racing, but it doesn't say anything else about what the lawsuit was really about or dive into why he's, you know, basically it was no $325,000 drop lawsuit.
Yeah. But, like, there's got to be – if you find another article on that, I gotta see that because, like, you know, Kyle Busch sold it – like you said, he sold his truck series to Spire Motorsports. And Spire is who Corey LaJoie drives for in the Cup Series. So that was a big deal. They how much money did they say they bought it from Kyle Busch for?
It didn't say. Yeah, it's absolutely terrible article. It just says that KBM claimed the lawsuit that Rev Racing owed them $325,000. KBM partnered with Rev Racing last season, providing trucks for the team. Nick Santos piloted the number two Chevrolet, and as per the agreement, KBM would be paid $2.9
million. Wow. Let's see. I'm going to look this up. KBM, Rev,
Racing. Lawsuit. And it's in the trending, like, NASCAR news, too. Like, you would think the article would be better than that.
Okay, I'm going to send you this. It's Jayski's. So this is another good NASCAR page. Jayski's NASCAR Silly Season. Let's see. So this says.
Yeah, what'd you find?
All right, I'm going to click this and read this because that's you got me interested because I'm a Kyle Busch fan. Kyle Busch Motorsports. Yeah, is suing after bringing in a driver tied to NASCAR's Drive for Diversity program. In the lawsuit, KBM claims it's owed $325,000 from Concord Base Rev Racing. Their website states they are the competition arm of the diversity program. KBM said they partnered with Rev Racing to field NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series driver Nick Sanchez last season, but it claims Rev Racing missed several payments tied to their agreement. The racing team is suing for breach of contract. In a statement, Rev Racing told Channel 9 they're working through some accounting and expect to resolve the matters amicably. So that explains it more. So they're basically suing them for breach of contract is what it boils down to. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, people say, man, oh, it's $300,000, you're a millionaire, dude. Well, $300,000 is probably taxes on like one shock on a car or something. It's crazy. I got one more topic I've got, and then I'll stop talking. Kevin Harvick coming out of retirement. Kevin Harvick is coming out of retirement. Oh, wait.
Yes.
No, he's not. Kevin Harvick says on his latest podcast, on Happy Hour Podcast, I'm still retired. I'm technically just helping out some friends. Kevin Harvick on getting to drive the number 5 car for Kyle Larson in the All-Star Race practice. It says that his friends are those at Hendrick Motorsports. Harvick will practice the Kyle Larson car on Friday, May 17th at Wilkesboro. Larson will be on the final practice before Indianapolis 500 qualifying that day. So Harvick will get 15 minutes in the car on the 0.625-mile track as the team prepares for an all-star race. And it sounds like NASCAR will also allow him to do the 3-lap qualifying session that includes a pit stop so that Hendrick number 5 crew can compete in the pit crew challenge. Harvick won't be allowed to run the next day that set the lineup for the all-star race since he's not eligible for the main event. He didn't win a race last year, and any past champs or past all-star winners must be full-time. But it's still 15 minutes of practice, despite vows from Harvick that he wouldn't get in a cup car again. This will be cool to see. Getting in the car again can only help Harvick with his main job at Fox Sports as an analyst. The next-gen car he drove with the past 2 years of Stewart Haas Racing. He will see if the Hendrick car, as well as the change to the aero package and potentially the tires that will be used for the event, make much difference. Harvick said he's doing this as a favor to Rick Hendrick, who has helped him out through his career. Hendrick knows that it would be beneficial to have a driver who has been in the next gen at Wilkesboro last year to do the practice. And he probably figures that Harvick will know the line, so the likelihood of wrecking the car is minimal. Would it have been nice for a young driver to get a little experience practice car? Yes. But North Wilkesboro isn't that comparable to other tracks. How much 50 minutes would help as a young driver is debatable. So Harvick, it is. It should be fun to watch Harvick doing it. There's no question about it. I know what you're thinking. Will Harvick ever get a cup again? He says, the question is, if Larson wins the All-Star race and the $1 million, does Harvick get any coins? It depends. So he was interviewed and said, yeah, I'm coming out of retirement. And he chuckles and says, oh, wait, actually, I'm helping a friend out. So it'll be cool to see him practicing. I always like Harvick. I think a lot of people are listening probably like you too, like, oh, man, that's awesome. He's coming to retire. But no, he's not. He can retire.
Look, you had me going. Cause I knew he said he wasn't going to come back. But I'm a Kevin Harvick fan.
I was reading how it was wrote. That's how it was wrote.
Letdown. I just want to go on my corner and cry.
But that's just the handful of things that I had seen and I thought would be cool to talk about. And so I'll listen to you yap now.
Oh, no. Look, Harvick, that was, I liked Harvick because, for one, he was sponsored by Hunt Brothers Pizza. And I'm a Hunt Brothers Pizza fan because they're a Christian company. They always put a Jesus fish and a Bible verse on the back of all their pizzas. And then during deer season, they turn the back of their boxes into targets, and you can sight your gun in. And then plus they make good pizza as well as being a Christian company. So
they do make good pizza.
And you told me the history. So I did not realize the history. Tell me what you told me the other day about Hunt Brothers Pizza, about the owner of the last one that.
Oh, shoot.
Because you were telling me the last of the brothers of Hunt Brothers died, the last of the Hunt Brothers.
Yeah, he had just passed away. It's a remarkable story.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can pull it up really quick. I had it because I can't remember word for word what I had told you. Four brothers. Oh yeah, the four brothers, Donnie, Charlie, Jim, and Lonnie. They all four were together. Then two of them moved, and then through the years they managed to get back together and do pizza. They were off doing their own thing, you know. And then they got back together and ran it. And then the brothers, like I said, they run a heck of a business. And what they stand for.
Yeah, because they put God first is how their business exploded, because every single state in the U.S., they got thousands of these Hunt Brothers Pizza locations everywhere.
Yeah, I know we have one. You know, the thing about it is Hunt Brothers Pizza, it's kind of like they, in my opinion, they with like gas station food, right? Like they started,
yes.
Like we have them in some of our gas, Hush Brothers pizzas and some of the gas stations. To me, that's a brilliant market idea. So like Casey's, a general, they call it Casey's convenience store, but it's like a gas, it's a gas station, but they're called Casey's convenience store, but they sell gas. But anyway, they're big in this area, okay? I don't know if you've ever heard of a Casey's, but they're known for pizza. And they have some of the best pizza you'll ever eat.
Wow.
You know, even though they're a big company or whatever, and we have a big, it's called Rhodes Group, and they own a bunch of stuff. And so they have Rhodes 101 stops, Rhodes gas stations. And if I can, I go to Casey's versus going to Rhodes for a bunch of other reasons.
That's
you
cool.
know, I just direct money to them. And like I said, besides Hunt Brothers, in my opinion, Casey's and Hunt Brothers has the best gas station pizza. And I'm not saying they're gas station pizza, the Hunt Brothers. I'm just saying.
Look, that's great. Because I've never seen a Hunt Brothers that wasn't in a gas station. And that's a genius marketing idea. I've got to try me a Casey's because I've tried a lot of different kind of pizza, and I'm interested to try one day.
Yeah, they have so down where my parents live, they live about 30 minutes from me, and in their little bitty town that has like 2,000 people in it on a good day, they have it's a hole in a wall on the end of the block, old brick building, and it's a Hunt Brothers.
Wow!
And they deliver pizza. And
that is
from
cool.
There, not my parents don't. I'm saying the town has Hunts Brothers and people work there and deliver pizza. I've never seen one. I thought they were in gas stations. You know.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So
there's 9,500
locations.
9,500 locations. 32 states.
Wow.
That's crazy.
32 states. That's a lot.
10,000 locations almost is.
So okay.
Yeah, the last living brother was Charlie, died in December. But
wow. So look,
me
and Adam, in no way, shape, or form, are sponsored by Hunt Brothers Pizza. But hey, if y'all want to sponsor either of our podcasts, I'll gladly talk about your pizza, and I will post pictures of me eating pizza on Facebook, which I never do. I will do that if y'all want to sponsor us.
I'm telling whoever's listening to this, it might not be Hunts Brothers, may never get back to nobody but us. Jared probably eats Hunts Brothers pizza at least once a week. Not every time I talk to him, I'm just saying, hey, what are you doing? Oh, went and grabbed something to eat. What is that? Oh, grab some pizza. I ain't got to ask where it's from. And then that would be like a Thursday. And then the following week on a Wednesday, hey, what are you doing? Oh, went and grabbed a bite of pizza. Like, I already know what he's doing. So it's like, you know, he is loyal to Hunts Brothers.
And look, speaking of Hunts Brothers, this is no lie. I went to go to the little redneck town of Fulton to get my hair cut on lunch today. And shout out to Daniel Bedwillet at the Big T's Hair Salon. She gets me hooked up. Look her up on Facebook, the Big T's by DB on Facebook. Anyways, so I made an appointment to get my hair cut. Went there on my lunch break, and she cut my hair. And I called the restaurant down there at Susie Q's, and Susie Q's didn't have what I wanted for lunch. And so I went into the gas station there, a little old country store there, right by where I get a haircut. And they are a Hunt Brothers dealer. And I bought two pepperoni slices today for lunch, and it tasted so good it made me want to slap my grandma and my cousins.
So let me ask you this: I know y'all we're not even closely talking about racing right now, but and this is kind of how my pod goes. We just talk about what we're talking about, and then sometimes we just talk about everyday stuff that people can relate to. So it's not always just about the topic. So that's what I think is great about the way Jared runs a pod or the way he produces pods or talk shows, or you want to call them, because you can add it in and it just kind of flows. So, so before we get off the topic of pizza and you can get back on topic, what is your go-to pizza? What's your favorite kind of pizza? I know the Hunts Brothers is your favorite. I'm saying toppings, crust style, a lot of sauce, no sauce, thick sauce, runny sauce. Like, what's your pizza?
Okay. I wish Hunt Brothers would do this. And if Hunt Brothers is listening, all y'all homies need to do this. A four cheese or a six cheese pizza with six different kind of cheeses. That is my favorite. Six different kind of cheeses. Look, you ain't going to be slapping your grandma and your cousins. You can be slapping everybody in your family, not just your cousins and your grandma.
The only question I have a couple questions, actually. So, just straight up six cheese. Like, I know, but what kind of crust? Thin crust, thick crust?
Okay.
Hand-tossed,
crust.
Like, deep dish?
Yes, either a thick crust six cheese or a hand-tossed six cheese.
Okay.
And then if Hunt Brothers does that. Hunt Brothers does that special seasoning. I don't know what it's called, but sometimes these stores will do it, sometimes they won't, but they'll do it at the one at Fulton. Well, they sprinkle that seasoning on there, but that kind of seasoning on there, it's fire.
Yeah.
Like, it's so fire, call the fire department.
Well, the last question that I had about your pizza, six cheeses, you think, now, to me, it seems like you're not going to have a bowel movement for a week with six cheeses. I think the plumbing might get backed up with six cheeses. I don't know, but I just, you know, it just, that's what comes to my brain. Is that's a lot of dairy. and that might not be lactose intolerant. you might
look
like a crippled goose. Who knows? Like,
you might be crapping like a crippled goose after that one.
Oh, so
because like the best one.
Go ahead.
Uh-huh. So,
go ahead.
Okay,
go ahead.
So what is your favorite? What is your all-time?
So it just depends on where it's from. I don't like runny sauce. I don't like thin sauce. I don't like Domino's. I do not like. I used to. Okay, Domino's has what is it called? I think it's a deep dish. That's about the only one I can tolerate from there, because their sauce is just too. It's like water. It's just like generic. I don't know. I don't like.
Yeah.
But if so, I've been to New York. I've been to Chicago. it's a big debate: Chicago versus New York. It's New York all the way. You can get like a 15-inch long slab of pizza, one slice. It's like at the top of the crust. It's probably like, it's just wider than your hand, and like I said, it's over a foot long. And you fold it like a taco and you eat it. So it was amazing. It was $5, best $5 I ever spent. And then the difference was, though, with Chicago. Chicago's more like when they say, you know, pie, like, you know, they call pizza pie. Some states, people in the states call it that. Well, because in my opinion, in Chicago, it is like they make a, like, it's like a pie, and it's thick, and it's different. You can't compare the two. It's like, you know, the debate of Michael Jordan versus LeBron. It's just, you can't compare the two. So, but locally, we have Emo's. You ever heard of Emo's?
No, I haven't.
It's a big chain out of St. Louis. And we've had one here forever, but we finally got a new location. They tore down the old one, built a new one, and now they're starting to put them in a couple gas stations. So that's amazing. Their thin crust, pepperoni and bacon. They use real strips of long bacon, not that crumbled up bacon bit stuff when you ask for bacon on pizza. They actually have strips of bacon across this pizza, and you can see where they've cut, you know, when they cut the pizza, that's how it gets cut. You might have a big old slab of bacon on that one slice.
Wow.
But that's my favorite, and they've got a thick sauce. But enough about pizza. I know we went down a whole other.
I even like a chocolate chip pizza.
Oh yeah, my daughter. You and daughter be best friends. You'd be fighting over that thing.
She'd probably kick my butt and take the whole thing from me. She'd debut it from me.
Oh, she'd fight you for it.
That's great. So. Okay, so here's something. So since we went over safety, we went over, because a lot of times I ain't got no certain times I'm going to do this topic, that topic, you know. So
yeah.
So I want to go into a segment, and I got a question for you. So we got 23 minutes left in the show. So, all right, so I want you, if you don't mind, share your testimony of what God's done for you in your life, or how God's blessed you. The other people that may be listening that don't know God or need something good to hear in their life, that need, you know, a good perk up in life.
Well, first and foremost, thank you for the great question, or asking me to talk about that. You know, I'm a pretty private person when it comes to certain things and stuff like that, but that's one thing that if I get an opportunity to talk about, I will publicly. I used to go right before COVID had happened. I used to go to a local center and speak, I used to go to a local center that had at-risk or young adults that were going down the wrong path or already in the wrong path or whatever, and I would just talk about my journey, and I would do that like once a month or about every other month whenever they had a spot where I could do that. So, I got sober back in 2018, and it's been challenging, and it was very challenging in the beginning. Now it's like riding a bike. Now it's just everyday stuff, right? But I used to not really have faith. I didn't really believe. I thought when the lights go out, it's dark, and you either get burned up and you're in a can or you're in a box in the ground. Kind of where I thought about things. And boy, oh boy, I'm so wrong, and I'm glad I was wrong. And I was able to see the light, as they say. And, you know, I never really knew how to channel certain things or discuss certain things. And it became easier once I started talking to more and more people that were strong in their faith, and they were giving me great advice. And then over the last, especially like 6 or 7 months, I've really turned a corner in a positive direction by giving it to God and seeing what He can do for me. Because for 40, I'll be 43 in June, so for 42 years, I'm like, I can do it. I can fix it. Something, I can do it. I need it now. Blah, 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 you know. But I got tired, and I was like, I can't do it anymore. I just can't do it. And I, you know, phone called Jared right here. That's on the thing right now. Called him, talked to him, and he said a prayer for me and stuff. And I'll tell you what, that extra weight I always felt like I was carrying every day, it's gotten so much lighter. Because I'm still every day is a new day, right? And I'm still trying to figure it all out. But that 100 pounds of weight that I felt like I was just being like, just it was just it's annoying. I don't have that anymore, and it's because the good Lord is helping, and I know He's always going to be there. I know no matter what, that He's never not going to love me, and as long as you know. All you gotta do is ask. All you gotta do is say, "Hey, man, come into my life," and you'd be surprised. You know, I mean, I don't really know. You know, like, it's a whole, because you know the story. I mean, we ain't got enough time. But that's sure. Just in a nutshell. That's just in a nutshell for me. My experience with faith coming from somebody that didn't believe. Well, I believe, but I was so skeptical. I was like, yeah, right, blah, blah, you know. I was raised, you know, on my mom's side, Lutheran, on my father's side, Pentecostal. Been to Baptist, Methodist, Catholic church. I've been everywhere growing up. You know, like, used to go to revivals or church camps in the summer. So, but was I paying attention? No. I was always, why this, you know, negative, and now it's like, man, be a little positive, look into some things, surround yourself with good people, like, listen to other people. That's the biggest problem that I think people have is they're struggling, that people struggle with faith is because they won't listen to nobody.
That's right.
Like, so if they're not going to listen to they're not going to listen to the Almighty. So,
yep.
And He's there, and literally, like, He's there if you need to talk, and, you know. So, I don't know if this, glad to found it before it's too late, I guess, maybe, I don't know if that makes sense.
I learned something this weekend. So, as I talked about earlier, I went to that Christian concert, and it is by far the best day I've had in a long, long time. It was Jesus, 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 the whole entire event. They had this little kid that would walk around on stage, and they had several hype men for the different Christian rappers, and even the artists would get up there, and they would stop, and this little kid, man, he looked like the redneck version of John Cena. He had on his little basketball get up or whatever. And he was probably 10 years old, and he had on some shades and a little flat bill hat. and he'd go up there and he'd have a microphone in his hand, and he'd say, "Jesus," and then a few minutes later he'd walk back up, "Jesus." He's probably 10 years old, if I had to guess, maybe younger. And then each artist, as they got up there to perform, I said, "All right, what do we want to hear? Jesus." And then they'd like shout him out, and they had this little quote they would say with it, and that was so cool. Like, I didn't, because you know the stresses I've been going through, and like this weekend, every bit of that was gone. I didn't even think about it. I didn't think about nothing but having a good time with Cliff and his girlfriend, and then I focused on Jesus that whole event. And so one of the cool things was the Christian rapper Brian T did this thing at the end, and Brian Trejo is his full name, and he was the headliner, and he is a huge artist. He's a Hispanic Christian rapper, and he got up there, and he had all these artists, all these people. He said, "I want y'all to gather around in a circle." And then so we all got in a circle around him. He got off the stage after his fourth song, and then he got out there in a circle, and he said, "All right, I want y'all to back up just a little bit." And I don't remember how he explained it, but he said, "Back up just a little bit, get a little bit more space." And then he'd say it again. Everybody start backing up until the circle got bigger and bigger. And finally, I was backed up next to the stage and touching the stage. And then he was out in the middle. He said, "All right." He said, "If you really believe in Jesus, after all you've heard today, and you really believe that God's going to do a work in your life, and you really want to commit to God, then move, step forward." And so everybody stepped forward a few steps. He said, "All right." He said, and then he said something else along those lines. He's like, "All right, well," and everybody moved forward again. And he kept doing it until the circle closed back up, and he was rotting, and you could barely see him, but you could see, everybody was staring at him. And so he did that to show that how everybody was far away from Christ, but everybody that needed Christ, they draw closer and closer to God. And he did an altar call right there, right by the stage, and he got all those rappers that had performed during the day. He got up there by the stage, and it was 30, 40, 50 people there by the stage. And if it hadn't been people by the stage, I really believe there'd have been people running to the altar. There was people baptized during the day. People come up. I watched people pray over them. The artist, Brian T., prayed over people, and people accepted Jesus. Like, I saw that firsthand. I was like, "Man, this is an awesome experience." And then I had this Hispanic guy come up behind me, and I seen he had prayed to my buddy Cliff. And then he comes up and says, "Hey, brother," he saw my ministry shirt I had on. He said, "Hey, brother, can I pray for you?" And he's like, "Do you mind if I pray for your ministry?" I was like, I was floored. I ain't never had nobody do that. And he laid his hand on me and prayed for me, and I prayed for him while he was praying for me. And then I watched all these people get saved. And then, like Brian said, "Don't y'all leave." He said, "Give all your burdens to God." And one of the things he said that I did that I've never done before was he said, the Bible says you're supposed to forgive people. It's like 70 times 77 or 70 times 7 or whatever the number is the Bible says. That's a lot. And so the way he said, he's like, "Look, I want y'all to whisper the names of every person that's ever done you wrong in life and just let it go. Just forgive them. Forgive them right here on the spot." He's like, "Take that burden off of you and you'd be surprised what this would do in your life." And I just let it go. Now, there was three or four people that I didn't even think about until after the fact, but I had like four or five names. I just let it go. And it was so cool. It was like a 1,000-pound weight was lifted off my shoulders, and God just took that from me, and I ain't got to worry about those people no more. And that was very cool. I really needed that experience, and that brought me closer to God doing that, and it was a free event, so that helped.
Well, that, is speechless, number one. That's astounding. Like, I've said that before, that I've told people this. I used to hate six people my entire life, and then, because I've told you this before personally in private conversations, And then one day, I was just like, something had clicked, and I just forgave it, moved on, and then I did some research and stuff, and it was like I was giving them power over me by giving them that emotion of hate. I was like, so that was holding me back and holding me down. So it's like, why are you giving people that? So I tell people that. It takes more to hate than love somebody. It really, why? It does.
Yes.
And
it does.
You don't believe me? Read into it. Look into it. You can find tons and tons and tons of articles about this stuff. And, you know, 6 feet, and I was just like, when I look back on it, I'm like, why? Why did I hate him? You know? At this point, some of it's been 20, 25 years. And to hold that and let somebody have power over you that long, you know, is the stuff we do to ourselves is astounding, isn't it?
And it eats you alive inside.
Yeah, I'm glad you were able to go to that. You told me you were going to. You're stoked, even though it was a little bit of a drive. You're like, I've got to go to this. I've got to go. Like, that was like, that's God telling you, hey, man, this is where you need to be. You got to make it here. And then look what you do coming out of that. And, like, I know what you've been dealing with. We've talked about it personally. You have been dealing with a lot of stuff. And I'm glad that you were able to go and have a clear mind. I'm glad when you left, you now feel like you've had, like, a restart of sorts.
Yes.
Because it's just a lot of stuff. And the thing is, you know, Jared, you're there for a lot of people, and I get it. Like, I'm sure it can be overwhelming at times hearing people's talks and struggles and stuff like that. But that's a testament of who you are as a person, your character. I've always known you that. I've given you flowers hundreds times on there, right? Like, so.
Thanks.
Just keep doing you. Keep doing you. Like I said, you know, you're doing great, man. Like I said, I'm glad you were able to go to that because you were pumped to go anyway. But to go there and to receive that gift, that's probably letting go,
and you know, I met some of my favorite Christian rappers there too, like Nikki Gracious and ASAP Preach, and these people, like these artists, they were mingling with everybody. Like some of these guys have hundreds of thousands of views on YouTube on their stuff, and they just were like regular Joes, like ASAP Preach. His name is Ian Barnett. He was just like a regular redneck like me. He had camouflage pants on and rapping on stage about Jesus. And I just uploaded the video of his full concert. His set was like 25 minutes long, and it was well worth it. Like, just to go to this event and just let it go. I'm going back next year and entering the car show. But, like, it was put on by Joshua Hutchinson, or his artist name is Clean Slate Music, and that was cool to – just let it go, to give all that stress to God. It makes you feel so much better.
Right. That's awesome, bro. That's awesome. We about to
and
run
look,
out of time.
Yes. So what I'm going to do is, if anybody's got any prayer requests, y'all let me know. Please pray for my friend Jessica. She's going through a lot right now. She needs some really huge prayers for all my prayer warriors. I don't care where you live at. If you're a prayer warrior, please pray for Jessica. She could use lots and lots of prayers. And then, of course, you can always pray for me and Adam. Pray for Adam's business, ADP Fencing. So if y'all are in the Missouri area and need some fencing, y'all be sure and give him a call because he's the Tim the Tool Man Taylor of building fences.
I appreciate that. No, I got a request for prayer request for our buddy Donovan. Been dealing with some health stuff. He's had some blood pressure issues today. He was supposed to have gone seeing a cardiologist of sorts or something. Blood pressure was like 190 over 130. That's not safe. And
wow.
I talked to his mother yesterday. Another friend of ours, Tony, we were on the call with his mother, and said he had an appointment tomorrow and stuff. So praying for big man Donovan. And then another friend of mine, been friends with this guy since we were 12 years old. He's fixing to take on a new adventure in his life. He's going to move out of state. He's going to be away from his wife, kids. But he feels at this point, this is what God's supposed to be telling him to do. And this is supposed to be the thing that sets them where they need to get to, right? So he's going to be about 4 hours from his family. Not sure when he'll be back. He'll be gone for several months. So just keep him, you know, safe travels to you, Jimmy, and praying for you and your family, because, you know, that puts a strain on relationships. That puts a strain on marriages. That puts a strain on the kids. You know, so praying for his wife, you know, so he's going to be at home now with the kids by herself. And so anyway, just Jimmy and Donovan, we got you.
I appreciate
that.
And
thanks for having me on, dude.
Look, this has been the best podcast that I've done probably ever. And I'm not just saying that because you coming on, we just clicked. And so it clicked perfectly. So I'm going to do one thing before we end the show. So I want you to listen to this song I'm about to play. This is my outro song and my intro song. This is by the artist ASAP Preetz that I met this weekend.
Yeah.
And he wrote this song about his mom passing away. It's a great, great song. He dedicated it to her on the video. But it's called Heaven Bound, and it's got a great, great message. So we appreciate everybody listening to the show. Thank you, Adam. And tell me what y'all think of this song. So we're going to end it with this.
All right. See y'all later.
Thank you, buddy.
I know life gets tough sometimes. But I ain't gonna let it stop me. Let it down. Don't want it in this bed around. Darkness looking like bad weather clouds. It can't stop me cause I'm heaven bound. I feel better now. On the highway, Lord, I'm heaven bound. You stay with me in whichever route. They can block me, but I'm never out. All of me, all for you. With everything you made me right, that's something to die for. On the highway doing heaven now. On the highway doing heaven now. The world was coming crazy, but that's just how he made me. Been through all kind of stuff, been to different places. You get my heart fell off, and all my tears burn from it. This world is trying to tell a joke, it got some problems on it. I just need some time, I just need some time. Help me work my problems out and reach the finish line. The world is trying to tell him I'ma go to hell, it's lies. I was held alive in a jail when the talent died. Then they saved my life, yeah. Better now. On the highway, Lord, I'm heaven bound. You stay with me in whichever route. They can block me, but I'm never out. All of me, all for you. With everything you made me right, that's something to die for. On the highway, doing heaven bound. On the highway, doing heaven bound. My life laced up in the music with the bass up. All my life living for the world I had to pay up. I was down but not out, I was so faded. God did not count me out, he sat there so patient. At my door, it was so close. So many problems up with my mom, didn't think I would see her go. But it hurts to see her go, but it burst in me new growth. I can never doubt, believe with all my soul I'm not alone. I feel better now.
I feel better now.
On the highway, Lord, I'm heaven bound. You stay with me in whichever route. They can block me, but I'm never out.
Block me, but I'm never out.
All of me, all for you. With everything you made me right, there's something to die for. On the highway, doing heaven now. On the highway, doing heaven now. Let it out. Looking like bad weather clouds. It can't stop me cause I'm heaven bound.
ASAP Preetz, what an emotional song. Watch the music video. He wrote that about his mom passing, I believe. What a powerful message. Let it go. Let the stress go. Give it to God, man. That's what it tells you, man. Give it to God. Don't stress, man. Man, what a powerful thing. If you listen to that and watch that video and don't get choked up, wow. Yeah, ASAP Priest. Look him up on Facebook. Buy the song. It's off his album, Heaven Bound. Buy the album on CD. You can get an autograph, too. ASAPPriest.com. See y'all later. Thank you, Adam. Best show yet that I've done. Appreciate you, buddy. I love you, man. God loves y'all. Jesus saves. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you. Oh, wait. Thank you, Jason McMillan with the 110 Nation Sports for this podcast. Thank you, Chris Creighton, Race Chat Live, and the voice of the House of Hook, Why Not Motorsports Park. If it wasn't for Chris Creighton and Jason, I would not have this podcast. So thank y'all. Thank y'all very much. Thank y'all. God loves you. See ya.